In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I have Eleanor with me today. I'm going to be reading from Mark's Gospel, the reading that we had yesterday. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowd, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat, and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slaves said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No. If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest time. Then at harvest time I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds, tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He proposed another parable to them. 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, yet when fully grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches.' He spoke to them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened.' All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what was written by the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has been laid hidden from the foundation of the world.' Then, dismissing the crowds, Jesus went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' So Jesus said in reply, 'He who sows good seed, he's the Son of God, or the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burnt up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and who are evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous shall shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear. Thus is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ." When I think about this gospel, I think about myself, that in my heart wheat is growing, but there's also weeds. And God wants to change the weeds into wheat. He can do that. They're called tares. I have a yard in East Boston, and the man next door has a beautiful grapevine. And he gets grapes at harvest season. But one year I saw grape leaves growing on the fence. They just took over the fence. I said, "I'm going to have a big harvest of grapes." It was a weed. It looked just like the grape leaf, but there was no fruit. You see, we can look like Joe Christian, Ramona Christian, and have no fruit. You see, in the church are weeds and wheat. In my heart are weeds and wheat. And God wants us to repent of the weeds so that he can change them into wheat. Everyone starts off with just a whole bucket of weeds, and then Jesus comes and starts to clear out the heart by the power of the blood and by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is so important that we allow Jesus to have access to our hearts, that we allow Jesus to take the weeds and change them into wheat. What kind of weeds grow, I tell you? Weeds of, I'm jealous. Jealousy weeds. They have this and I want that. Anger weeds. I'm angry at this person and I'm not going to forgive them. You can just name whatever you want. Gluttony weeds. I'm going to eat and eat and eat and eat. All these weeds grow with the wheat. And the Lord wants to change the tares in our heart, the weeds in our heart, to wheat. He can do that when we give him access to our heart.
Well, very well said, Father. And good morning, everyone. I'm glad to be here today. And, I don't know what I'm thinking, really, but do you remember that song, Father? I'm a little bit country and I'm a little bit rock and roll. I bet you could sing that for us, Father.
I don't know it.
A little bit of country. I can't sing, so. But anyway, I'm a little bit of wheat and I'm a little bit of weeds. And, I used to get discouraged about the weeds, my weeds. But I don't get discouraged anymore because I understand that the mercy of God is an amazing mercy. It's and so I don't get discouraged. I just know the mercy of God. I know it falls upon me and it falls in deep oceans full. And I receive that. I receive that mercy and then that helps me perhaps get rid of the weed or and maybe it disappears for a while, but it comes back. But instead of getting discouraged, there's no point. I tend to dwell on the optimistic. And as you said, there's a lot of wheat. There's a lot of good. So I dwell on the positives. And I don't get discouraged about the negatives, the wheat. And because the mercy of God falls upon me, and I know he's protecting me and leading me correctly and picking me up and dusting me off. And he doesn't want me to be discouraged. That's a word that he doesn't like because he wants me to realize that he is always there. He understands what it's like to be human. It's not easy to be human. So he understands all that. So I just count on that mercy of God, which you can't explain how deep it is and how many times it comes upon us. And we just can't believe it. And for whatever we have, some might have a deeper weed than others. But it doesn't matter to our God. He pours mercy regardless of what we have done. There's no measure like, well, let me just give out a little mercy here because this person's really on the wrong train. He doesn't speak like that. We have a beautiful, loving Jesus, a beautiful, loving Father. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, he just continually pours mercy. He just does it all the time. So we have to reach out and grab it and take it. It's grace. And then we say, thank you. And then we proceed. So we just don't let it bother us. We don't waste energy on that. And no wasting energy on things we want to change. Just receive the mercy and change it as best we can. And if it doesn't change right away, we just keep going. We don't give up. The mercy keeps falling. And eventually we will change. And then maybe we'll go back again to something. But the mercy keeps coming. And so I guess the message for me is thank God I don't get discouraged. I used to spend time thinking about it. And what a way to pull you down, thinking about your negatives. So think about your positives. You all have positives, and your positives way outweigh your negatives. So just write them down, write all your good things down, and then and thank God for that, and be pleased with that, and don't beat yourself up. And regardless of what it is, whether it's a serious thing or a minor thing, the Lord's mercy still is falling upon you right at this minute. It's falling all over you. And I think we don't even recognize it sometimes. I don't know how to explain that, but that we have a God of wonders. And he's always making things come together and happen. He's watching over us all the time and bringing things together. But we don't recognize it. And I don't know, I guess we don't. We sometimes, looking back over a situation, we'll see, wow, God was really there. He let this person meet that person, and then that person was able to get me a place in a class at school, and now I have this job. But that's all God. And so therefore, sometimes we don't even recognize he's sending his mercy. But we know it is. He's coming. We believe. We receive it. We know it's coming, and we say thank you. Thank you for the mercy that you're going to throw upon me today to help me to change in a certain area. Thank you for that mercy. And then once you thank him and you have belief in that mercy, then you have to act on that faith. You have to do something against that weed that you're trying to get out of your life. You can't say, well, I believe the mercy's coming. I believe I'll change. But then do something. I'm trying to think of an example. But do something, whatever it is. Maybe like if you talk about your friends, you say, well, the mercy's coming. I'm not going to talk about my friends. But then do something in the affirmative. Act on your faith. And the Lord loves that. So I don't know what that would be. Maybe the friend you're always talking about, why don't you call her on the phone and talk to her and maybe give her a compliment. You know, change it. Because that's mercy in itself. But the Lord loves when he sees faith turn into action. And then he really multiplies his blessings. So that's what I'm thinking this morning, Father.
But you're talking about Christians. There are people who are not Christians, and they have weeds growing. What they need to know is that God is good and forgiving, and God wants to do something for them too. He wants to pull up those weeds and plant some wheat. I remember many years ago, I had reached a low point in my life, and I felt like I didn't have any faith. I remember going into the chapel at Most Holy Redeemer Church, and I knelt before the Blessed Sacrament, and I said to Jesus, I need a mustard seed of faith. I will never ask for it again, because I know you'll make it grow. That was a long time ago. I've never asked for the mustard seed, because God has made it grow. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It starts off small, but it ends up big. You see, God is good and forgiving to those who repent. And it's so important that people hear this today. You might say, I have no wheat growing. Well, you know what? Repent. Turn away from your sins. Ask the Lord to come into your heart. How do you do it? You just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my friend. Be everything I need you to be. That's all you need to do. And then God starts planting wheat. But then you have to live by faith. He just doesn't say, well, I did it and it's over. No, it's a beginning. It's a very, very small beginning, but a very, very important beginning. I preached yesterday on the Lord is good and forgiving. And I preached about different people. I remember I've spoken to you about Anthony and how he came here. And he had never been to church. And he had never been to a service. And he had cancer. And his friends took him here so that I could pray with him. Well, I did. I prayed with him. The next week he comes and makes the holy hour. And he says to me, the devil was in my room. I said, how do you know? He said, I want you. And Anthony said, I belong to God. And what happened after that? A hand came into the room and pointed at the devil, and he fled. The next week he came and told me Jesus was in this room, and he looked at him with love. That's wonderful. This was a guy that had weeds. Weeds. He didn't ever thought about God, but God thought about him. And the final thing is he went home that night and walked up the stairs, kissed his girlfriend, and took a heart attack and died. The good shepherd wanted this man saved. This man needed to be saved. And if it wasn't for his friends, he never would have been here. The Lord is good and forgiving. We need to repent of our sins, repent of the weeds, and giving our life to Jesus every single day.
I always like when you tell that story, Father. And what it reminded me this morning when you were just telling us, it reminded me of the story of the prodigal son. And the special part of that story, everybody knows that story, I'm sure. But I'll just tell it briefly. There were two sons. And the one son was a good son. And the other son, he wanted his inheritance because he felt he wanted to go out and see the world. So he went out and saw the world and wine, women, and song. He lost all his money. In fact, he had no money. He lived like a pauper, and he was in working with pigs. And all of a sudden, he woke up and he said, "Wow!" He said, "I think I'll go back to my father." And his slaves live better than me. I'm living in a pigsty. So he did. He started back on the track. Now this is the part I like, and this comes into the forgiving part. The guy's walking up the road toward the house, and his father looks out the window and he sees him coming, but he doesn't stay in the house and says, "Oh good, he's coming back, I'll wait here." No, what he does, now you have to remember, the Father is God the Father. That's our heavenly, almighty, all-powerful Father. He opens the door and he runs toward his wayward son. He runs. He doesn't walk. He doesn't saunter. He runs to him. Now, that's a beautiful picture, because what I see is our Heavenly Father running to us in our dismay, in our upsetness, in our sinfulness, in our anxiety. I don't care what it is. The Father runs to us. And imagine that. I mean, imagine that he would do that. But that's how loving he is. That's how amazing he is. All powerful, all holy, almighty. And he doesn't have to do that. But he loves us. He loves each and every one of us. If it was just one person in the world, he would run out the door and run to us. And it's just, I love that. It gives me goosebumps, because I think how sweet, how loving, and it's an amazing, and he runs to all of us, whatever we're going through, even if it's something small. He loves the details of our life. Let me tell you that. The details. What are the details? Oh, you're in a hurry and you need a parking place to get into a doctor's appointment. That's a detail. But he cares about our details. He cares if we're going to get what we're going to get on our grades. He cares about the big things. He cares about marriages that are in trouble. He cares about big decisions we have to make when we find out we're pregnant. He cares about all that. And he wants us to run to him, come back to him, and then he will turn around and run to us. Run to us. He will put his arm around us. He will say, "Don't you worry. I am with you. I am God. I am the Father. And Jesus said, "I love you with an everlasting love. Do not be afraid. I'm with you. My arm is around you now. Everything will be fine. Everything will be okay." So when you just mentioned that little story, it just reminded me of how precious our God is and how much he loves us no matter what. He's with us. He will never leave us. He will never leave us orphans. He knows what we're going through. He just wants us to come to him. And sometimes people say, "Well, why do I have to go and tell God what my problems are, because He knows my problems. So why do I have to say them? But, you know, that's a good question. That's a very good question. But the thing is, the Father loves when we verbalize the problem. But then when we come to Him, He said, Jesus said, let me know what you're going through. You who are heavily burdened, let me know your burdens. He wants us to speak them out. He wants to hear them and out loud. He knows, but He wants to see for sure that you're going to come to Him and rely on Him when you're in a desperate state. So you do. You come to Him, and just as Jesus told us to, pray. Jesus said, pray. So if He said it, that's what we do. And we pray to the Father. The Father loves that we come to Him and voice out loud what we need. So that's a good thing, Father.
But you see, with the prodigal son, there's a turning. He turns toward the Father. In other words, he does something. Even though he's going to live like a slave, so he thinks, he turns. And that's grace. When we turn, that's grace. We can't even turn on ourselves. Mm-hmm. We need the grace of God. You might say, but I'm all weeds. Well, you know what? St. Paul was all weeds too. Mm-hmm. And look what happened to him. Look at the weed that he grew in converting people, in loving people, in preaching to people. Tell us about the cards that people have been giving to people. Eleanor has cards that says, Eleanor. What else does the card say?
Okay. Well, my card, they call it the Eleanor card, and it has my name on it. My telephone number is 617-733-2264. And you know my signature three words, hope, help, love. Those are the words written on my card. And you know those cards, talk about doing action. The guy turned around, we have to turn. Well, I made up the cards. That was my job. I had faith that the Lord will bless my work, but I made up the cards. And so you have to act on that faith. And little did I know, I honestly, Father, I think I've given out 5,000 cards. It sounds like a lot, but I think I did. And then all my friends that work with me, they give out the cards. The cards are going all over the place. So yeah, I did this. I did the cards, and then it was up to the Lord to get them in the right hands, which He does. It's always amazing to me to hear where the cards went, how they got the card. But yeah, we've had three stories. Let's see. Yeah, one person, they just found the card on the street. They were getting into the train at North Station, and the card was just on the curb. So they called me, and they're pregnant. I mean, the mother called me. Her daughter's pregnant, and she's a high-risk pregnancy. And they were thinking of going to Planned Parenthood, but they felt it was wrong. But they let the high-risk pregnancy part take over their thoughts, which means like, oh, the baby's not going to be all right and we can't handle this. But that's all evil thoughts. And so thank God they picked up my card and they called me, and they're going to have the baby. I referred them to a high-risk doctor over at St. Elizabeth. I think her first name is Linda. It could be Lucy, but her last name is Bayer, like Bayer Aspirin. And so she's going to handle that particular case. Then, yeah, we had another card that came in. Actually, the people found it. They didn't find it, but someone called them from California and told them about me. Maybe they heard here. And then they called me from California. So I'm working with them over the telephone. The card is just an amazing, amazing tool. But I have to tell a sad story with the card. And the sad story with the card, this is another person that just found the card, received the card, and she called me, and I met with her. And now it's a sad story because we might as well go right to she did go in and have the abortion, Father. But she still calls me now and comes over because she is absolutely devastated. we had the appointment set up, and I waited for her and waited and waited. And I called, and I said, I'm here, and she never returned the call. So then I figured something's up, and when she called me back, she was just, she can't stop crying. That's all I want to say. She can't stop crying. So I talked about our forgiving God and Project Rachel, but she said, I can't stop crying. She said, I should have gone to that appointment. I can't. Anyway, she didn't go to that appointment. And she's just devastated. It's the only word I can use. She's crying. And it's just hard for me to even tell the story because she was so close. But then I don't know how, what happens, Father. I just don't know what happens, but you can pray for her and pray for me that we can help her get through, and she will know the forgiving Jesus.
So the Lord knows how to let wheat grow. See, these cards are like wheat. I love the story that Eleanor tells about the woman in church who was weeping, and somebody else goes up to her and gives her the card, and she's pregnant. These things just don't happen. These things are arranged by the Heavenly Father. May Almighty God bless you today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.